Amen. Proverbs chapter 21 this morning. Title of the message today is going to simply be this. Proverbs 21 for the 21st century. How many know the book of Proverbs is about wisdom? How many of you know that in the world that we live in today, there's not a lot of things that we really need? I mean, we got technology on top of technology. Hello. I guess the microphone got upset, decided to fall down on me. But we got everything. But you know what we need in this century? We still need God's wisdom. You know, you might have everything in your house. You might be totally digital in your house. Digital cell phone, digital camera, digital TV. I mean, come on, when's the last time you had to get up off the couch and go turn the channel on the TV? We've come a long ways. When's the last time you had to wait about 2 hours for your meal to cook in the oven instead of 20 minutes or 15 minutes to cook a whole meal in the microwave? But you know what we can't forget in this 21st century? You know, you can have all these screens, HD TV, and all this kind of stuff to focus your eyes and just more clear and crisp than ever before, and surround sound to blow the roof off your ceiling, because you can watch TV and just... you can be in any room of your house and hear the vibrations of all the noise. It's okay if that's the way you like it, but how about some wisdom? You know, they can't replace wisdom of God. They can't load it up in a computer and punch a button and say, there's all the wisdom of God you need. No, wisdom still comes from God. I mean, real wisdom still comes from heaven. It doesn't come in a can. It doesn't come in a computer box. It doesn't come in a program on a shelf anywhere. But God's wisdom for today is still available if we'll go to the source of wisdom. So you know what you need every now and then? You need to go to the book of Proverbs. You need to dig out some things of God's wisdom. So we're going to go into Proverbs 21 for the 21st century. Now, I'll just let you know right away that there's 31 verses, and each verse by itself can preach a message. So I'll do my best to listen to the Holy Ghost, and you do your best to sit still and listen to the Holy Ghost, and we'll still try to get out in time to eat dinner. Now I got everybody scared. So let's stand together. Proverbs 21. Reading at verse number 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whatsoever way he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to be pleasantness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. The way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthrows the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. I need to read that one again. He that followeth after righteousness shall find these things. Findeth mercy, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spare not. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, how much more when he bringeth it with wicked mind. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Father, we pray about wisdom this morning. King Solomon, when he was asked, what shall I have the Lord do? What do I need the Lord to do? He didn't ask for this, that. He asked for your wisdom. He needed to understand how to be advanced in his years, how to be ready to give answer, how to be ready to make decisions, how to know the truth and be able to discern from right and wrong. Father, I pray, Lord, that we might have our groceries full in our house. We might have our gas tank full in our cars. We might have all the technology things we need, everything instant, everything automatic, all the comforts that we have in our home. But Lord, one thing we still need is to have wisdom of God. Father, I pray this morning that we would turn the channel in our spirit and say, get off of the remote control generation, get out of the technological generation, and start looking up where heaven is and start looking to our Father in heaven and say, God, today I don't have the wisdom that I need to help my children. I don't have the wisdom I need to help see other souls saved and brought into salvation through Christ Jesus. Lord, I don't have the wisdom to grow a church over 100 people. Lord, I don't have the wisdom on how to tell somebody what to do for their body that they may never get sick again. But Lord, I know you have wisdom. I know that I have relationship with you. And today we can call upon the wisdom of God and receive from heaven wisdom for every need and every situation in this place today. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. You can be seated. I rewrote this when I was studying it about 4, maybe 5 times. My prayer when I began for this morning was, God, you know the wisdom right here in the passages of Scripture that we ought to spend some time talking about this morning. I began to realize that wisdom, see, what we have recorded in Proverbs is the result of someone receiving the wisdom from God. And we have a snapshot of what it is that is being recorded. But to gain real understanding of each and every one of these verses, it will take you and I to go before God and say, Lord, let me see more than the surface of that verse. Let me gain the wisdom that you have for me. The Bible is not a scanning book. It is not something that we skim like we used to do on the book reports in our school programs when we never really read word for word and we just looked for key things and said, I can pass a test if I am able to just give a summary of what the book is about. I'm going to tell you that you need more than a summary of what's in this book. You must have wisdom for the hour that we are living in today, for it is going far beyond our own knowledge today. And so God is calling the 21st century not to be energized with all the things of the flesh and be tickled by every kind of thing of pleasure that's in the world that's new and interesting. But God says, listen, in the 21st century, I need somebody to get wisdom in their spirit again. I need somebody to get a hold of the throne of heaven and understand how to stop the strongholds of the enemy from going forward. And it starts with wisdom out of this book this morning. So I began to look at this. God answered very quick last night. I began to pray and just get into the place where I was meditating on the Lord. And he fell the Bible open and I just began to look at it. And he instantly began to speak and he said, there's wisdom right there. And I knew that God was giving me something. I had pulled out some other notes. God's been talking to me all week. 4 and 5 different messages in my heart. And God said, here. This one right now talks about wisdom. You know, he may lead us to do a series of messages on wisdom. Would that be okay if we gained some wisdom from heaven and got ready to receive some blessings of God? Well, here's how it began to work in my spirit. Verses began to attach. 31 verses in chapter 21. You can go through each verse and learn and see the wisdom of God and its wisdom for the 21st century, but I want to bring some verses together and reference them. I've read the whole entire chapter to you. You can go back and do the same, and God will show you wisdom. But God showed me some things. He showed me an Alpha and Omega experience between verse number 1 and verse number 30 and 31. At the beginning of chapter 21 and at the end of chapter 21, God is sending forth a message. He's telling us at the very first verse that He is the one that has the king in His hand. And like rivers of water, He can steer the path of every king that's on the face of the earth. What does that mean? Nothing is getting by God. It does not matter. And then it goes on in the other verse of 30. It says that there's no wisdom. There's no counsel. There's nothing that's going to come against God. No wise man is going to challenge God. No wise, intelligent being, whether it be by computer, whether it be by intelligence or whatever it might be, there's nothing going to stand up to the wisdom of God. No one can bring a charge against your God this morning. And then he said in verse 31, he said there's a situation about battles. You know, how many of you can say, man, that we got battles personally in our life, and we got battles and wars that's going on in the world today? Anybody ever realize that there's a lot of fighting going on in the world today? A lot of battles all over the nations being fought. A lot of things going on. The Bible says there in verse 31, it says that the horse can be ready to go into the battle, but you got to understand that Jesus has said through the Proverbs and through the wisdom of heaven that the deliverance shall come from God. The safety comes from God. Hey, we got a lot of technology. We got all kinds of new bombs. We got stealth equipment in the military, things that you and I don't even know about, hidden secrets and all of that. It's okay. Get them ready if we got to be under attack. But listen up, if nobody will tell you that the deliverance comes from Jesus, they may steer us into a battle that we'll lose because we can't just have the horse ready. We got to have ourselves ready to depend on God to be our deliverer and our safety all through this life. Hallelujah. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Right away, wisdom of God is He's first and He's last. He gets the first word, He gets the last word. He's the first resource that you go to, He's the last resource that you go to. Every time, all the time, God is the one that is able to do these things. Have you thought about a river before? We sang a song about rivers flowing out of us. You know, we might have just thought in our own wisdom and intellect that, you know, rivers get to go any way they want to. No, God carved out the path for every river. You know, those rivers are following the path of God, and whenever God wants to turn the river, it can change. And whenever God wants to turn a king, He'll change that king. How many remember Pharaoh who had a hard heart, but God was able to get inside that old hard heart of Pharaoh and began to put the turning power on it? Don't you ever think the devil has got more power than God? God's got the palm of His hand open, and He already says in heaven that the very heel of His foot has bruised the head of the enemy, and he forever has to look in the mirror and see a defeat on his forehead. Hey, he can't cover that up. He's defeated. See, this is some wisdom. Many of us are going around not understanding the wisdom of heaven is for us to understand how strong our God is. Get that in your spirit. Verses 2 and 16. Did you realize that there's a congregation of the dead that Jesus knows about? How do you get to be a member of the congregation of the dead? First of all, I hope you don't want to be there. Anybody want to be in a dead church? Anybody want to have a dead spirit? Anybody want to be in the membership of the dead? You know, there's some people that's already passed on. They're in the congregation of the dead, and that's physical death. There's some others that are spiritually dead, and they're participating in the congregation of the spiritual dead. There's some people that have no wisdom of God in their life, and they qualify to be members of the congregation of the dead. What does the scripture in Proverbs chapter 21 tell us that gets us into that place? It's when we ourselves think about our own ways. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say that that just your neighbor thinks that way, but it says you think that way too. I think that way when I'm in my own flesh. I think about the fact that I can justify anything in my life. I can make everything right in my own eyes, but God is the one that says he weighs the matters of the heart. It won't matter how many people you convince that what you're doing is right, because God knows the heart and the weight that's in that heart. And if you got no wisdom of God that's teaching you how to live before God, then you are shortchanging heaven, and God is saying you're bankrupt in your spirit and you're really a member of the congregation of the dead. What about the other situation? It says if you wander off of the path. So if you stay stuck in your own wisdom, oh, it looks right to me. My way is the best way. You know, we joke around some and people say all the time, it's my way or the highway. But God says, it's my way or no way. Wisdom of God does not argue with the intellect of man. Let me say that again. Wisdom of God does not argue with the intellect of man. God is not going to debate his word with you. God has given the spoken word. God has given his holy blessing on the word. God sent his son as the word, and the word became flesh. He will not debate with you and I. But Lord, I thought this was the right way. Don't you remember the scripture? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God. So be careful this morning when the only I in your life is you. When the only direction you're looking for is your direction. And then for those that find interest in wandering from the path of righteousness, you are walking yourself into the congregation of the dead. And you will not enjoy sitting in that presence, because everything will die. And eventually, if you don't get out of that congregation, your spirit will also be dead. This is a big topic in chapter 21, this next one. Verses 3, 7, 8, 12. No, I'm not playing the lottery. 3, 7, 8. Don't write these numbers down and try to win on God. 3, 7, 8, 12, 15. We're not playing bingo. 21, 27, and 29. There is a scale of balances weighed out in these scriptures, and it's talking about those that will live righteous and justice, and those that will be accounted to God as good and acceptable, even above sacrifice, is living righteous and holy before God. But on the other side of the balance is wickedness and evil and destruction and hardship, and you have to understand that all of those verses, the bulk of chapter 21 spells it out. Live righteously before God. Walk it out. Walk your faith out. Has God called us to be perfect in every step? No. Can you do that? No. Can I do that? No. But how do you and I remain in a righteous and just relationship with God? Number one, righteousness is doing right to others. Jesus did right to others. The judgment of your heart is on you. Only in Scripture are we called to look inward to us on judging things and let God be the judge of everything else. Judge the intent and the thoughts and the purpose of your heart. How do you live righteous? You do good by works of righteousness to others, and you let yourself be judged by this wisdom of God for your standard of living. And don't let yourself get by without the wisdom and knowledge of God being something in your life. Get your life in check. It's a message for the 21st century. Because the Christians of the 21st century have a lot of things to get back in check to the wisdom of God. Verses 4, 10, 11, and 24 tie into one of the most evil spirits running loose on the earth today, a scoffer spirit. 2 Peter chapter 3. You can find it in the pages of your Bible that says, what's going to happen in the last days? They will come, scoffers. They're going to mock the things and the promises of God. He said in His Word that if He goes and prepares a place, He will come again and receive us unto Himself. But they are mocking a promise that says, where's His return? If they're saying, where's His return? They're really saying, we don't fear God, because scoffers are arrogant spirits that fulfill the lust of their own desires. I'm not talking about sinning. I'm talking about arrogancy in a spiritual way that throws it up in the face of God and says, we will overpower the things of God. We will bring our filthy lust into the house of God. We will tell everybody in the world with pride and arrogancy and haughtiness in our spirit that I deserve my own rights to live any old way I want to, and impose those standards on us. God says, that's a scoffing spirit. The scoffing spirit is that spirit that has absolutely zero fear for God. No reverence. Ask yourself this morning, could we use some wisdom in the church of God to kick out a spirit of scoffing and make sure that God's holy standard and holy word is upheld in our lives for righteous living? What the world needs to see is that God, the same God that can move a river and spin it any direction He wants, can hold a king and an authority and in the palm of His hand and turn that king's heart. When God begins to be free in the church to let the Holy Spirit move upon and remove all of the scoffing spirits away that say, I doubt this promise, I doubt that promise. Don't you dare doubt the Word of God. If He put it in His Word, it's a promise of truth. And He's not a God that shall lie. So keep coming and be prayed for your healing. Keep believing by faith and accepting the promise of God that your children are coming home to Calvary. Keep believing that God is moving, manifesting, and the spiritual gifts are operating in your church. Because why? Because the Bible says if you and I lack any kind of wisdom at all, if we lack anything, we can go boldly before the throne of grace and ask Him according to the Word of God. He will give liberally wisdom, but we have stopped asking for wisdom. We have said, God, do it, do it, do it. But God said, I give you wisdom so that you can do it. People get discouraged today. Well, God's not showing up anymore. Did you pray for God's wisdom on you so that His Spirit can be used in you? That the wisdom of God may flow in the house once again. There's work to be done, church. No fear of God means no wisdom. You can't understand how to deal with the problems of life today. Honestly, don't raise your hand. Honestly, how many things have come up in your life and you've just really on the inside threw up your hands and said, God, I cannot. This is so I don't understand it, and I'm not able to function. You know what you need to do? Go on in your prayer. Don't just cry out to God right there, but begin to say, like Solomon did, I need wisdom. Yeah. Prayer really begins when you're seeking wisdom. He's checking me just like He is you. I've cried out to Him. I've said, God, I want to see the church grow. God, I want to see, this is my prayer. I'll share my prayer. God, I want the sinners on the street to come in so they can have salvation. God, I want some more saints of God to come in so they'll praise You. God, I need some more laborers, ministry that want to serve You. I'm also praying, God, send them from every direction, north, south, east, and west. I've been praying, God, send us a blended congregation. Doesn't matter. What color? Doesn't matter. What ethnic background? But then I asked Him, I said, Lord, if You send somebody that I can't talk to, send me somebody that can interpret and be the voice. Because you know, God may send us somebody that doesn't speak English. But His Spirit, how many know that the Holy Spirit can go beyond our language and speak to them? What a miracle that would be. See, we need some wisdom for the 21st century church. We need some wisdom for our household. Things are out of control. Can I tell you this morning, many homes are out of control? Can we be honest? I mean, really out of control. We're not talking about little kids. We're talking about out of control issues. Trouble, deep trouble. Yeah. Marriages are in deep trouble. Children are in deep trouble. Pastors are in deep trouble. Saints of God are in deep trouble. The balance of life has been moved. You know what brings us back? The wisdom of God.
Yeah.
So busy. So many things in our life. It's getting harder for us to separate. What belongs to God? How much time am I giving Him? Can I get by in the 21st century with a 5-minute prayer one time a week? Can I get by? You know, you might be able to get by, but that's not good enough. The church can't get by that way. People are coming in with big diseases, cancer. People are coming in with needing great big miracles. But you know what? We got to have the wisdom of God. Verses 6 and 28. If you move that just a little bit more, I'll never be able to see that clock. Verses 6 and 28. We're talking about God's wisdom this morning. Listen to this one. Lying does not advance your treasure chest. Oh, you know, we live in a world today that they say the average person tells 7 lies a day. God showed me some wisdom in this. A lot of times we set a lie up so that we can gain a temporary, some type of treasure. But the treasure chest is where you store and keep things. God showed me that what a lie does is it may give you temporary satisfaction of what you're asking for, but when it comes time to draw out of your treasure chest, there's nothing there, because as fast as you gain, not only do you lose, but it takes other things out of your treasure chest with it. Lying is one of those things that the enemy is the father of. It was invented by him. He started it in the Garden of Eden. And he's been sowing it ever since. And the 21st century has got to come back to the wisdom of God that says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that there is something about the Holy Spirit, that there is a gifting called the spirit of discernment. If there is a day and a time that the church must be open and willing to receive a spirit of discernment, it is in this hour when lies are on every avenue and every corner in every home, and they're flowing in churches today. Ephesians chapter 4 gives a warning. Give no place to the devil. Let me explain to you some wisdom about lying. It starts out with you giving a lie to help yourself. But at the very moment that you lie, you open up a door spiritually and you have allowed the Father of Lies to jump into your life with both feet. And what that will do in your life is cause you to be deaf to the truth. And you will be open to the deception of the world, meaning that you can't tell right from wrong, meaning that you won't be able to sort out what's the truth and what's a lie. So when you lie, you gave place to the devil to work in your life, and he's going to take up space and cause you to be deceived, so that when somebody tells you something, you can't tell whether it's a lie or not because you opened up a door. Don't you see how the enemy is setting up getting ready to use the Antichrist spirit in the world. His platform is a lie. His spirit is a lie. His false prophet is a lie. The Antichrist is a lie. All the things that he stands for is a lie. So what's he doing? Why is he going to be able to take over so easy? Because the world has been using their tongue to lie, and they've not realized that it opened up a door. And in that door being opened, the enemy is saying, I've conditioned you to believe lies because you lie. And see, the enemy never wants you to know the wisdom of God. It isn't just that God said don't lie because it's wrong. He's saying there's a door that gets opened through lies. So today, shut that door. Shut it. God will heal you. Well, it's time to close. Verses 13, 14, 17, and 20. Go ahead and put some music on, please. Talks about provisions and possessions. Today is feed and be fed. One of the scriptures brings out that when we shut our ears to the cry of the poor, then it's going to happen that when we cry, we're not going to be heard. But I noticed the wisdom of God in that. He didn't say it exactly the same way. He didn't say if we don't listen to the cry of the poor, that we ourselves will become poor. He just said when you cry out, you won't be heard. Maybe your bank account won't ever tank out. But maybe when you're asking God to heal your body because it's sick, if you've closed off your ear to the poor, that's God's wisdom, not mine. It's easy today, church. Prices of gas went up. Groceries, I tell my wife all the time, they're charging more for groceries and they're making the product with less ingredients. I mean, even at Walmart this week, the plastic bags that they put your groceries in, three of those bags ripped on me, and it's not like we put a lot of stuff in them. And I noticed the plastic's thinner. I've noticed several brands of cereal that I used to like really well. You go to get a bite of it and it's just not the same anymore. Potato chip bags. The air pocket, they've increased so they can get more money out of your pocket. And the potato chip, maybe they're trying to help us keep our diets. I don't know. But you see what's going on. Then verses 25 and 26 talks about the lazy man's desire. You know a lazy man's got desire? He's got desire for everything that everybody else wants. But the lazy man just sits idle, doesn't do anything. People don't go out and get jobs anymore. You know what this generation's doing? I want the right job. I want to hold out for the right job. How about when, maybe I shouldn't do this, but who started out flipping hamburgers? Who started out washing cars? Who started out bagging groceries? I didn't start out working on the job I got today. I started, you know, I found out I was actually a bean counter. There was a time at Taco Bell that we actually counted the beans in cups that made the refried beans. I had to actually count them and put them in cups. I never really remembered that until, you know, sometime it just hit me. I was a bean counter. Man, that's starting out down at the bottom. But you know what I do today? I've had jobs at State Farm where I handle million-dollar accounts. Am I bragging on that? No, but God got me out of bean counting and handling very important paperwork for State Farm. You know what else? I believe God's going to send the same anointing in the church. We started counting pennies. We count pennies. But you know what? I saw happiness come across Brother Ron's face this last Monday night. You know what was in the offering? $100 bill. We got to record $100 bill. How many can believe God for more $100 bills in the offering? Do they still make a $500 bill? Well, oh, he's starting to talk about money. Ooh, get back. No, God will bless you. Don't worry about it. Save the best for last, or maybe I was being wise and not really wanting to touch this next one. Verses 9 and 19. Two times in Proverbs 21, it talked about a cantankerous woman. First place, it said, man, it's better if you just go live on the housetop than stay down there with You know what the King James, my Bible says, is it calls him a brawler. Any of you married to a wife that's got boxing gloves in the closet? Then the next one, it said, man, if you can't live on the housetop, just go check out and go to the wilderness. Don't stay in town. Get to the wilderness, because now she's a brawler and she's angry. And I thought, God, I'm not going to talk about that. But he gave me wisdom and he said, look in here. Verse 23, I got to share it. Something caused the spirit in that woman to be a brawler. Something happened to cause her to be angry. I believe I know where it happened. In the Garden of Eden. Now, come on, ladies. I need a big amen coming here in just a minute. The first thing Adam said when God said, you know, what did you do? The woman you gave me. He rolled all the blame on her. Do you know today, now, men, forgive me, but do you know we still want to try to blame our wives for everything that's wrong? It's a spiritual problem. We've done it. I'm not beating you up. I'm a husband too. I got a wife. But now listen to verse 23. And I want to jot something down that God gave me, because I'm using it very lightly, but church, marriages are in trouble today. Marriages are hurting today. This is what I wrote down. It said the home front wars and the retreats need to call in the heavenly guards of the mouth and the tongue to end trouble and bring back peace. Yeah, fights in the home happen. Mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, brothers, and family members cannot always fix and should not always try to fix what's going on in your home. People you talk to. But God gave us some wisdom in verse 23. He said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Do you want to get off the rooftop? Or in our terminology, you want to get out of the doghouse? Then it's going to take a mutual respect of partners to say, we've got to do some calling together on the wisdom of God. Remember, your ways and my ways are not right, only in our eyes. Happens for women and men the same way. But at some point, you got to call for the wisdom. Call a timeout. Say, God, I got to have wisdom. Young married couples got to have wisdom. Old married couples got to have God's wisdom. Situations change as the marriage goes on. But that verse will remain if we'll use it. Somebody had to put them in this place. But God says, I can put everything back in place. Stand with me this morning. If you still love me, pray for me this week. If you don't love me, still pray for me anyway. The Bible says pray for your enemies. If I'm your enemy this morning, I hope I'm not. We love you in the church. God loves you for sure. Laugh a little bit today. I'll give you something you can laugh at. If you read my comments that I put in the bulletin this week, you'll probably find at least 3 or 4 misspelled things because I didn't go back and spell check. So it might be a little bit funny to you, but that's okay. Let's pray together. God, here we are in the 21st century. Proverbs has been buried in your word, but it's such a great word of wisdom. The Bible tells us the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Would you help us to fear you, reverence you, and honor you? God, we need help. We need your wisdom. We'll be better people with the wisdom of God. Have your way in our lives. Bring us back to humbleness. Help us see the truth. Study your word. We love you and give you praise. Give God another hand clap of praise before you leave. If you like cake, be here tonight. Birthday cake. Many birthdays. There were some that didn't make it on the calendar. that we're finding out also had birthdays in February, come have a piece of cake. And those that had the feed and be fed cards, just let me get to the back. Give me an opportunity that I can shake hands with people and then meet me downstairs. And if you can do it at all, come back tonight, be part of the church. We've got a very special Sunday night message coming up in about 2 weeks. Came out of the men's fellowship breakfast. God really blessed and moved on a very special Bible topic. I'm really hoping that we can get a lot of people to come out on that Sunday night and listen to the Word of God. God bless you. Enjoy your dinner today.